Beloved, our call to worship this evening is from Psalm 84, verses 4 through 7. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read the entire chapter. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Beloved, our text for this evening, the verses that we want to consider for the message tonight, come from 2 Corinthians 4, the chapter that we read, the last three verses, where Paul says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." As we look back over the past year, over 2021, we've often suffered, many of us have suffered. The very word suffering evokes many thoughts and memories and responses. Physical suffering, spiritual suffering, emotional suffering. This life is one of suffering. This past year was full of suffering. The Apostle Paul also knew suffering. We read in this chapter he was troubled, he was perplexed, he was persecuted, he was cast down. In 2 Corinthians 11, a few chapters later, he says he was in stripes, meaning he was whipped. He was in prison, facing death, beaten, stoned, suffering shipwrecked, in the deep, in journeying, danger, in danger of water, robbers, from his own countrymen, from the heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, everywhere he went, he faced danger and suffering. In weariness, he says, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, fasting, cold, nakedness, suffering. Many of us have suffered in the past year, and intensely so. Many of us can take this sentence, my suffering is, and then fill in the blank. And as we fill in the blank, there's the temptation, isn't there, to become discouraged. To look back on this year and to face the next with a heavy heart. And in describing his suffering, Paul does not minimize suffering at all. He doesn't call Christians to minimize suffering at all. But as he writes in verses 8 and 9, he writes about suffering in a balanced way. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. How does Paul maintain perspective? How does Paul not grow discouraged in the face of such suffering? When the Corinthians minimized his ministry there, when they denigrated his person, well, we'll see that this evening under the theme, A Remedy for Discouraged Sufferers. Paul is writing out of his own experience. He's giving a remedy for those who are discouraged, for those saints tonight who have gone through this year and suffered intensely. Paul lays before us how the gospel changes suffering. How the gospel changes suffering. How the gospel renews our perspective. He encourages us tonight to keep a threefold perspective. In the first place, we are called to keep a corruption to renewal perspective. He says, keep a corruption to renewal perspective. Secondly, keep a suffering to glory perspective. And thirdly, keep a temporary to eternal perspective. A threefold perspective. First of all, keep a corruption to renewal perspective. We could say tonight that suffering is a matter of perspective. And you say, well, that's easy to say. You don't know what suffering I've been through, so how can you say that suffering is merely a matter of perspective? If you knew what I went through this past year, you wouldn't say that. It's true. If we say that suffering is merely a matter of perspective, it runs the risk of minimizing the suffering that we've endured. But as we see from Paul's dealing with suffering and human weakness, he deals honestly with the suffering that he faces. He counsels the Corinthians to change their perspective, to have a balanced, biblical, and Christ-centered, gospel-centered framework through which to view their suffering, to change their perspective. The Corinthians denigrated human weakness. They had no place in their theology, in their thinking for human weakness. They thought that you should just be strong, that you should just pull up yourself by the bootstraps and move on. Don't complain. Head up and keep moving forward. That was how they viewed suffering. That was how they viewed human weakness. They wanted super apostles. They wanted super spiritual leaders, those who didn't show any weakness whatsoever. They wanted leaders made in their image, from their perspective. But now Paul comes and he says, the power of the gospel is contained in earthen vessels. In other words, in weak vessels. So that the focus will not be on man and his weakness, but on the power of God in the midst of human weakness. If we want to know the power of the gospel to sustain us and to renew our perspective in the midst of suffering, it's not merely just to be strong and to move forward. It's to have this perspective that God's power is at work precisely in the midst of human weakness, in the midst of suffering. The very suffering that we endure, the very weakness that we experience in this life, is to bring out the life that is in Christ Jesus. Paul says in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He goes on to show how the resurrection shapes the hope of a believer in the midst of suffering. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So where do we gain strength in the midst of suffering? Where is our perspective renewed? By looking to Jesus, the one who has died, the one who has suffered far above what we could ever suffer in this life, the one who is raised to life and will raise us up also by him, the one who reminds us that all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So we don't focus on our suffering, we don't dwell on our suffering, and yet it is in that very suffering, in that weakness, that the power of God is manifest. The very hope that the resurrection of Christ has secured is that which guides us and transforms how we think about the suffering that we've experienced in 2021. It's with this hope in hand, with this power in hand, that we are counseled tonight not to lose heart. That's what Paul writes in verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. Paul's pointing us back to the resurrection, back to the gospel, back to the power of God in that gospel, the fact that the grace of God is at work so that all things are for us. Our perspective of suffering is shaped by the resurrection of Christ, the gracious providence of God. And so we're called tonight at year's end not to faint. What Paul is saying is don't give in to discouragement. Don't give in to discouragement. We're tempted to give in to discouragement when we see our suffering and we look ahead to the new year and we know that we're going into the new year with suffering. How will we manage? Just want to give up. Maybe you even said those words or thought those words. I can't go on. I just can't. Don't give in to discouragement, for which cause we faint not. Maybe you thought in this past year you had to be strong. You had to exercise your independence. You had to be strong and pull yourself up. You forgot that the treasure of the gospel is contained in earthen vessels so that Christ might shine through you more brightly. Don't give in to discouragement. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. There is hope. Christ is risen tonight, and the grace of God is at work despite not being able to see it at any given moment in the year past or looking ahead to the year ahead, and you don't see light at the end of the tunnel. Don't lose heart. Don't give in to discouragement, but keep this perspective, this corruption to renewal perspective. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, Paul writes in verse 16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing. It's full of corruption. Paul is highlighting here the day-to-day experience of a believer in a fallen world. Experiencing the ravages of sin, of evil in general, the suffering that takes place in the body. Our bodies are degenerating. The outward man is perishing. It's full of corruption. It's corrupting. Slowly decaying, wasting away, subject to death. Not a pleasant reality, is it? It's the reality we face, though, as creatures. The outward man is decaying. This puts our suffering in perspective, in context. Our suffering is part of life in a fallen world. There's an unvarnished reality in this statement that Paul sets before us. Though the outward man is perishing. You and I are decaying. We're suffering in the body. We suffer in the mind. We suffer physically. There's COVID. There's cancer. There's colds. There's pneumonia. There's flu. There's broken bones. There's decaying bones. There's long-term illness. There's disability. There's death. We suffer mentally. Darkness of the mind, struggles with depression, questions and doubts and fears and anxieties that plague us and won't go away. Paul says this is part of the outward man perishing. Corruption. All these things work against us, tempting us to give in to discouragement, tempting us to faint and to give up in the Christian life. We question, is it worth keeping on? Is it worth pressing on amid such opposition, amid such decay, amid such corruption? If this is life in a fallen world, what's the use of continuing on? Is it worth it? Is the suffering of 2021 worth it? Yes, it is. We say unequivocally, yes, it is. Why? Because Paul points out that a believer's corruption of the outer man is giving way to the renewal of the inward man. Though the outward man may perish, that is not reason to give in to discouragement. The day-to-day experience of corruption amid suffering is giving way to the day-by-day reality of the inward man being renewed, of inward renewal that God is working in us. It's giving way to the grace of God sustaining the inner man amid suffering. Not only that, God doesn't just sustain the inner man, but it's being progressively renewed. It speaks of a progressive renewal. This is the design of God's trials, particularly as we read from Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The corruption of the body, the corruption of the mind, the breaking down of the outward man is not pleasant. It's not joyous, but grievous. But it's that work in us, isn't it? There's something else that is at work. Suffering doesn't have the final say in the life of a believer, but signals that there's an inner working of God. That God uses suffering, that God uses chastening to renew the inward man. We could say it another way, capturing what Paul is saying here. While the outward man is wasting away, at the same time, the inward man is being renewed. At the very same time that we are corrupting and perishing and decaying and facing death, God is at work renewing the inward man. And so don't be tricked, beloved saints. Don't be tricked thinking that there's a bait and switch, that suffering is all there is and that God is against you. That somehow the outward corruption is all there is, and therefore you should give in to discouragement. The reality is, your inward man is not only being sustained, but is being renewed day by day. At the very same time that you face this corruption of the outer man. This renews perspective amid suffering, doesn't it? You're not just wasting away. You're being renewed in the inward man. There's life there because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in sustaining you. Can you view the past year from that perspective? Your cancer, your COVID, your grief, your anxiety, your fear. It's maybe difficult. Maybe you've given in to discouragement. But the truth of Scripture tonight, the truth of God, the truth of the gospel calls for us not to give in, but to keep this perspective. We're moving from corruption to renewal. Even as that corruption takes place, the renewal takes place at the very same time. That's encouraging. Because God is working something better for us in the midst of the hard. Maybe you're here tonight, you're not trusting in Christ at all. What does your suffering say to you tonight? Your outward man is perishing, but so is your inward man. If you are not united to Jesus Christ by faith tonight, both the inner and the outer man are perishing. But your suffering calls you to repentance because it comes from the hand of a merciful and compassionate God. The day of your death has not yet arrived. There's still the day of grace that calls you to turn your suffering around so that you too can say, by the grace of God, I have faced suffering in this year. But now I see why. It was designed to turn me to God. It was designed to turn me to Him and to His mercy so that I can say, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is now being renewed day by day. But believers are called to keep this perspective. This corruption to renewal perspective, but also we're called to keep a suffering to glory perspective. Paul gives us this perspective in verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Again, there's a contrast here that Paul is building. The contrast of the old-fashioned weight scale where you lay a weight in one part of the scale and you lay the thing that you're buying in the other weight of the scale, and hopefully the scales balance out. But that's not the picture that Paul is painting here. He's showing us that this scale, you put your affliction in one side of the scale, and you put that which God is working in glory in the other side of the scale, and what's happening? It doesn't balance out, does it? No. The affliction part of the scale suddenly becomes lighter as we consider what's coming. A suffering to glory perspective. To renew our perspective tonight amid suffering. There's a contrast here that Paul builds between suffering, which is light and momentary. Light in contrast to that which is heavy. Momentary in contrast to that which is permanent and eternal. Maybe you're scratching your head tonight and you say, how can Paul say that suffering is light? How can our affliction be light? How can my grief be light? How can my mental anguish be light? I can understand momentary, but I have a hard time understanding light. Isn't Paul minimizing our trials here? Is this being honest when the suffering I experienced this past year has been so heavy, has been such a burden, has pressed me down so much? No one really knows how heavy it has been. Slogging away in loneliness, despair at times, that things could actually change, sinned against, injustice done against me. Surely that's not a light thing. Losing a child, that's not a light thing. Losing a spouse, that's a heavy burden to bear. They're all heavy. They are heavy. Each affliction heavy according to the capacity of the person who carries them. But from God's perspective, you see, they are light. And we need to fight in our minds and hearts to gain this perspective. That in the scale of God, our suffering is light. And it's light only when considered against the backdrop of the glory that is coming for believers, for the saints. If our perspective is shaped only by the things that we experience in this life, then indeed our suffering will be heavy. Even unbearable, but the hope of the gospel calls us to a different perspective tonight. The other side of the contrast that Paul is building to help us understand how afflictions can indeed be called light. Listen to what he says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's temporary, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. The key word there that we need to understand where the change of perspective happens is the word worketh. This light affliction is working for us. It's working something better. We want to know what the purpose of suffering is. Well, here it is. Something, that suffering is working something better. Tells us that there's something weightier coming, not in the sense of being heavy to bear for us, but in the sense of worth, in the sense of value. There's something weightier coming in the scale of God. In other words, Paul is saying, don't estimate this present suffering worth more than it actually is. As human beings, we tend to overestimate our suffering. Because we tend to forget the eternal weight of glory that is coming. And so we're reminded from the gospel tonight that there's something far more weightier coming in terms of value, a far more exceeding weight of glory. This light affliction is working for you. It's not working against you. Paul uses superlative language when he explains what it is that is coming, a far more exceeding weight of glory. Through suffering, believers are being transformed from one excess of glory to another. Paul uses this same language in the closing verse of 2 Corinthians 3:17. He says that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. The same language is used there. Superlative language that indicates that the glory that is coming is far greater than this momentary affliction. This affliction will serve in some way to bring us into the presence of Christ, into His glory, into the fullness of who Christ is making us even now. Confirms our sonship. Confirms our recreation into the image of Christ. And as we enter into glory, we will see Him as He is and be like Him. God uses that suffering, what He calls the light momentary affliction, to chisel away everything that doesn't belong there, to present us faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. So this is the perspective we need to keep. Suffering to glory. Suffering to glory. It puts loss and pain and grief, sickness and death in perspective. Though the horizon of our lives is filled with that suffering, that's not all there is. We look at that suffering and we say, it's working for us. It's working for us. That suffering is not against us. It's for us. It's on our side because God is on our side and there's something far weightier coming. We already have that glory and deposit now through the promises of the gospel, through the hope of the resurrection, but that glory is coming from one excess of glory to another. Suffering works for us a longing to be with Christ, for that suffering to be over, to be consumed with His glory. That's where your suffering believer is bringing you. Don't be discouraged. Don't faint. Don't lose heart. But keep a suffering to glory perspective. And finally, the third aspect of this perspective is keep a temporary to eternal perspective. In a sense, Paul is swimming laps in the same pool, isn't he? He's saying the same thing from three different perspectives. Corruption to renewal, suffering to glory, and now temporary to eternal. In all of these things, he's lifting us out from this present world, from our present suffering, to consider what it is that is coming. He gives us one more perspective. He writes in verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We are seeing people, aren't we? We live in the realm of sensory experience. We see, we taste, we touch. That's what we live by so often. But what is the perspective that fills the line of vision for a believer? Paul says that believers are not those who look at the things which are seen. He doesn't give a command here. So it's not a question of what we are to do in this instance, but it's a question of considering who it is that we are. We are not those who look at the things which are seen. Why we look not at the things which are seen? This should be the reflex of our spiritual vision tonight. We are not those who look on and dwell on the things which can be seen. William Cowper captured it well in his hymn when he said, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense." We are not those who judge by what we see. So often we look at weakness, at suffering, at affliction, and that's all we see. Sometimes we do lose perspective. Scripture calls believers to consider their identity tonight. We are not those who dwell on the things that we see and the things that we experience. Rather, we are those who are guided by the things which we cannot see. Set your affection on things above, that inheritance that is incorruptible, Paul says in Colossians. And this is counterintuitive, isn't it? The world lives for the here and now. The unbeliever lives for what they can see and judges God by what they can see, judges what God is doing by what they can see. A believer looks, but looks beyond this world. The believer is heavenly-minded as we experience a life of suffering in a fallen world. Even as we live in the realm of sensory experience, of pain and suffering and grief. What Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we walk by faith, not by sight. Emphasizing again the identity of a believer. The eyes of faith are focused on the things that we cannot see, on invisible, heavenly, eternal realities. Is this where your eyes are trained as we close out 2021? As excruciatingly painful and heavy as this year was for many of us. For those who are believers, we are not those who look but the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Why? Why do we do that? Because we know that the things which are seen are temporary. They're passing away. They will fade. Not just the things of this world, but also the afflictions and the suffering that we endure, the grief that we carry with us will one day be over. This too is passing. So Paul is saying, don't put too much stock in the things which you can see. Don't value them more highly than the unseen things that are coming. The unseen things are eternal. They are lasting. They are permanent. They are coming when Jesus will come again. That's the great hope that we have tonight. That is the great hope that shapes this perspective. That even as Christ rose again, he will come again, and we will see the things that we cannot yet see. But that we are promised, that we are given as a down payment now in the gospel, in the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Don't lose heart. Don't give in to discouragement. But keep the temporary to eternal perspective. We don't minimize suffering. But neither do we overestimate it. Because eternity is coming. There's something better coming. Christ himself is coming. We're reminded of that, aren't we, in question and answer 52 of the Heidelberg Catechism, where it says, what comfort is it to you that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? That in all my sorrows and persecutions with uplifted head. You see, the orientation of a believer is looking ahead, looking up. With uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven, shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. The temporal things will pass away. The eternal things break into our horizon, even now, the horizon of the line of sight that we have. Beloved, what will you do amid your trials and troubles? What perspective do you have right now? Right now. Does it need to be changed tonight? As hard as it is. Does the truth of God's word tonight need to bend your perspective in line with what he says here? Keep the perspective that the gospel gives. Don't give in to discouragement. The gospel gives us perspective. It lifts us up amid our troubles to behold Christ who is coming. We can't see him yet. But his resurrection and ascension guarantees that he will come. Fix your gaze on heaven from whence he will appear again for you and deliver you from all your troubles forever. Reminds us, doesn't it, of the words of Revelation 7:16 and 17. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, implying that our suffering will one day be over. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Suffering will be done. The suffering of this present life is not joyous, but it is temporary. It is temporary. As the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. The light momentary affliction is working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. We don't look at the things which are seen because they are temporary. We are looking ahead. We are heavenly minded. Looking to the things which are not seen because they are eternal. Keep perspective. Keep perspective tonight. Keep perspective into the new year. Let the resurrection of Christ shape your hope, shape your perspective. A corruption to renewal perspective. A suffering to glory perspective. And a temporary to eternal perspective. Do this. Keep this perspective, and you will suffer well. You will suffer well as you look to Christ. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy truth that shapes our thoughts, our affections, our perspectives. We pray that this message would do just that, that we would learn to put all our suffering and in all its degrees and all its shapes and forms into perspective, that one day temptation will be over, one day our tears will be wiped away, one day the tremors of our arms and of our legs and of our bodies will be over. One day the fear and anxiety will give way to faith and sight. One day sickness will give way to a glorified body in the presence of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that this message would comfort believers, that it would drive those who are not yet in Christ to consider what their suffering is doing for them. Cause them to turn, lest they be consumed by their suffering in eternal torment and condemnation. O God, have mercy on them. We pray that Thou wilt bless us as we spend time together with friends and family this evening, that all will be done to the praise and honor and glory of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring us back again tomorrow morning to consider what Thou hast to say to us again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 421, verse 3 and 6, and then I will read the necrology. After that, we will stand and sing 246, verse 1 and 2, for guests who are and visitors who are with us. The necrology is a list of those who have passed away in our midst in the past year. It's done to cause us to reflect on eternity, to reflect on death, to reflect on eternity that is coming. The past year, we remember those who have passed away. On February 14, 2021, Elizabeth, or Betty Vanderstel, at the age of 88. On February 21st, 2021, George Van Streen, at the age of 99. On May 4th, 2021, Mary Carlson, at the age of 86. On May 27th, 2021, Diane Arnautz, at the age of 70. On June 12, 2021, Gilbert Vandermeel, at the age of 97. On June 19th, 2021, Joyce Jabais, at the age of 80. On June 28th, 2021, Ori Vanderboon, at the age of 95. On July 12th, 2021, Jordan Camp, at the age of 18. On September 7th, 2021, Lori Thomas, at the age of 65. On November 21st, 2021, Mr. Reverend Don Vanderklok, at the age of 79. On November 30th, 2021, Kendon Herter, at the age of 65. On December 15th, 2021, Nancy Van Rie, at the age of 65. We also remember, along with all those listed here, those who have lost young ones in the womb, those who have lost loved ones that are immediate family members not associated with our church. In the midst of death and dying, the Word of God counsels us and says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Psalm 90, verse 12. But at the same time, the Word of God also reminds us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Psalm 116, verse 15.